Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock, with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
This is a story from Bill Trapani.
So I moved to Florida in the summer of 2009. At the time I had moved, I was about the heaviest I'd ever been in my life. I was a little bit over 300 pounds. And pretty out of it in terms of physical health. Things were obviously difficult moving. It was hot. It was, oh my goodness, it was maybe 100 degrees, at least it felt like it, well into October or November, and I just felt like I was walking on the sun. I had moved from Detroit, which of course was not a hot weather place, and a pretty car-centric place, as you can imagine. And so whatever weight I had lost while I was in graduate school, it sort of rebounded while I was living in Detroit in the cold weather climate. And when I got down here, I pretty much immediately realized that this was a much different environment. I mean, everybody here was outdoors and physically fit, and it was a little bit embarrassing just to walk around and see senior citizens that had more energy than I did. At the time I moved here, I had a 2-year-old daughter, and so we were often at parks and going around and having fun and trying to teach her how to bike ride. And that, too, was a little bit difficult, trying to keep up with her. I guess with any toddler is difficult, but trying to keep up with my own when I was struggling with my weight was difficult. It really all came home to me, though, due to Harry Potter, strangely. My daughter is a very big Harry Potter fan, maybe like a lot of kids are, and had watched a lot of the movies and even had read some of the books. And Universal Studios had put in this new, of course, Harry Potter thing that has now grown into a much bigger series of rides. But when they first did it, we were one of the first families to go up there because she really wanted to see it. And at the time, she was only about 6 years old. And so she was far too young to do a lot of the roller coaster ride. But of course, the one she wanted to do most was called Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. And it is a roller coaster sort of ride that is inside of this big castle. It's the Hogwarts Castle, if you know the story. I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan, but I know a lot because she would never stop talking about it. So for years, we would go back to this theme park and other theme parks because she wanted to go on this ride. And I had tried different diets between then and there, really just to try to get my weight under control, but never really seemed to find the time and not really ever been that motivated to do it. But several years now, after going back to Universal, she'd finally gotten big enough to reach the height requirements. And I had told her, tomorrow we're going to go to Universal Studios and it's going to be great. And we think that you've finally got up to the height requirement. And she knew exactly how many inches and she wanted me to measure her. And so I did that very night. I measured her and it was right at it. If she kind of stretched her hair up just a little bit and on her tippy toes, she said, I think I'll be able to be taller by tomorrow. And I said, okay, let's go make this happen. And so we got in the line, and of course we worked our way through what was a fairly long line, about an hour wait. And we worked our way all the way through the castle until we got, a good 10 minutes away from the start of the ride. And an attendant walked over to me and said, sir, will you come sit in this chair? And I said, okay. And at the time, I had no idea what this was, and maybe this is part of the ride experience. Maybe this is some kind of, pull a tourist out now and then and take a funny picture or something. And he said, could you pull that down? And I quickly realized that it was a replica of the chair that you would take your ride in. And I realized I wasn't going to fit. I could sit in the chair, but I couldn't get the pull bar down completely over my waist. And I tried and I tried, and I could see out of the corner of my daughter's eyes, she wasn't really understanding what was going on, but she realized that most of the other riders weren't going through this experience, and she started to grow more and more nervous. And I'm, of course, trying to do everything I can to squirm in the chair and suck in my belly to make this happen. And eventually the attendant just said, I'm sorry, sir, you won't be able to go on the ride. And I just can't convey how difficult that was to look into my daughter's eyes and know that I wouldn't be able to take her on her this ride for her. And so I was there by myself with her that day. My wife hadn't come, and so she wasn't even able to go on the ride with someone else. And so, of course, trying to convey this to her and having all of that shame and humiliation and not being able to do that for my daughter. And, I'm very conscientious that everybody's weight is their own and that everyone should have their own story. And And for most of my life, I had lived with up and down weight experiences. I had, as a teenager, been relatively thin, but then had a couple of years where I had gotten very heavy again and found myself shopping in the husky section of the department store. And so I had come to terms with it in some ways for myself. I mean, you sort of get to the point where you overlook the fact that people on airplanes don't look at you and don't want to sit in your row. You sort of overlook the fact that you become somewhat invisible, and certainly lots of other people in society have it much worse. But to see it in my own daughter's eyes was very difficult. And so I immediately, of course, started getting serious about my weight. And at the time, I was almost 335 pounds. And the nice thing about living in South Florida was there was plenty of opportunities to take walks and to exercise and to be outside. And so I got on a diet, and there's no magic to that, certainly no Harry Potter magic to that. But over a period of about a year, I lost about 130 pounds. And at my lowest weight, I was down around 205 pounds. And of course, we went back as soon as we could to that ride, and I made sure to get on that with her. And we actually rode it twice. And she looked at me afterwards, and she said, "I'm really proud of you, Daddy, for being able to do this." And I said, "Well, I'm always very proud of you." And right after that, we both went and we had some ice cream. And she said, "You know what, we can have this." And I said, "We absolutely can." Because throughout that entire process, I didn't want her to worry not only about my health, but about having weight issues of her own. And it's been a struggle. But again, being in South Florida is unique. I would go to Weight Watchers, and of course, there were a lot of mostly women there, but occasionally I'd find a senior citizen, a male there. And my best friend for a long time was a 72-year-old sort of former New York City teacher. And he wanted to lose about 10 pounds, and I, of course, wanted to lose over 100. But we would go play racquetball together, and we would go drive to the various parks of South Florida to some of the sort of wetland preserves and things. And so being able to have that outdoor experience really made this a lot easier for me. We don't go back to the Harry Potter ride every year now like we used to. And whenever they have a new ride, she wants to go sometimes. And I don't have that same worry that I won't be able to get into the ride. But I do have the worry that, well, what if the weight comes back? Today, as I'm talking, I've gained about 20 pounds back from that, so I'm around 225 pounds or so, and so I think about it every now and then, and I try to make good choices. But it's not that hard when I sometimes have the opportunity to just slow down and look at my daughter and realize that she's 10 now, and I want to be there when she's 20 and 30 and 40 and see all the things that will come, and hopefully one day take her grandchildren, if she chooses to have some, to the theme parks too, and be able to ride the rides with them, just as I did with my own daughter.
Bill Trapani with a story about losing weight.
And so much more.
Do you know how difficult it is to lose weight? I have such admiration. 100 pounds in a year, that is really unbelievable.
It is amazing, and I do know how difficult it is to do that, and I think lots of people do. And first and foremost, this is definitely a hero's journey story. My goodness, this hero came face to face with his weight, and he massacred it.
I'm thinking this is something heavy people go through a lot, the humiliation and the embarrassment.
He mentions shame, and he talks about something that we all know about and probably all do without wanting to talk about it, which is walking onto an airplane. Do you want to sit next to the person who looks like he's pouring into your seat just a little bit? These are micro humiliations, but they can happen all the time. People who are staring at you and pretending not to stare at you, people who are whispering. You would be surprised at the people who are thin today but have gone through this kind of humiliation. One of the things I love about the story, besides that hero's journey, is there are a number of parallelisms in this story. There are a number of times when something is kind of doubled. And the most beautiful and the most obvious one, of course, is his daughter constantly measuring her height, which he said, you can stand very, very tall. I'm thinking, they're on line for an hour. She may grow taller just being on line to get to the ride. It takes so long on these Disney World rides. But
in all fairness, it's a Universal ride.
Excuse me, Disney, Universal rides, in these Universal rides. On one hand, she is trying to get bigger and bigger with her height. He's trying to get smaller and smaller with his weight. And the intense, extreme irony of her finally making the height requirement and his not making the weight requirement. If you saw that in a movie, you would groan. You would say, oh, that wouldn't happen in real life. The coincidence is so amazing. And the other parallelism that he made that I loved was, this is kind of a magical story, isn't it? I mean, the magic of weight loss, the magic of making that. I mean, we know, of course, it's not magic at all. It's very, very hard work, but he brings that up, you know, a magical moment. And yet he's talking about the Harry Potter ride. And so he does that in a lovely, very offhand way, not a real self-conscious way, but he makes that kind of metaphor there work.
And I know what ride he's talking about because I've seen the seat and I've stood online for an hour in Hogwarts Castle at Universal.
So we can all relate to that. That's very universal, excuse the pun.
What is also very relatable that it's his daughter that motivates him.
Yes, his love for his daughter comes through so clearly in a way that if he said for 8 minutes, I love my daughter, I love my daughter, I love my daughter, we wouldn't believe him as much as we do when we hear him tell this story. And that is the beauty of storytelling. We are living that love. We are watching him behave in a loving way, which is so much. I'm a words person and I care a whole lot about the words people say, but it's ultimately our actions that really matter. And the fact that he lost that weight ostensibly to sit in that ride with his daughter, but also because he wanted to be around for many years to come with his daughter, and he didn't want her to be ashamed and all the rest of it. It's a beautiful love story of a father to a daughter.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.